All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hello, good morning, and welcome back, or welcome to Morning Ray. I'm your host, Lan, and today's episode is Heartbreak 101, how to heal healthily and properly, and not just numb whatever it is you went through. This is your breakup guide, specifically from my experience of far too many situationships. I honestly, from speaking to my friends and from scrolling on TikTok, have come to the conclusion that it is far harder to heal and move on from a situationship than a full-fledged relationship. And that is because there is always the wonder of, what if it all worked out? What if I had actually got to experience this as a full-fledged relationship? You know, not to discredit and say that a breakup from a long-term relationship isn't hard. It is. But you have lived out that relationship and gotten to experience that. I do think situationship breakups can be a bit more challenging because there's always like the wonder of what it would have been like, and it never got to see its full potential, or maybe the situationship was the full potential. But nonetheless, this is my guide on how to move on, heal, refind yourself, and open back up to love again and to dating again and to not hate men, because this is from my experiences as a female dating men. So we'll get into that. But before we get into our Heartbreak 101 session and get class started, let's do our introduction, let's do our current faves, then we'll get into it. Alrighty. Okay, so you guys, my hats from my brand By Ray are out. I'm so excited for you guys to get your hands on them. They are pretty awesome, in my opinion. Might be a little biased. They're fully custom hats. They're 100% cotton, and I put my heart and soul into these hats, and I hope that you love them as much as I do. They're unisex. It's the perfect gift for Valentine's Day. The green one is perfect. Hunter, the color it is called, is great for St. Patty's. If you have St. Patrick's Day plans, that is your accessory. It literally has a six-leaf clover. Well, it's a flower, but you can call it a clover, as the boys on Hinge have been calling it, and it can be your good luck charm. So check out By Ray Hat. If you sign up for emails, you'll get a 10% off code and support small businesses. Current faves. I am obsessed with the Pivot Year. I actually have it right here. So if you're watching on YouTube, the Pivot Year by Brianna Weiss. I've been loving reading this. I actually have to catch up because I haven't read my excerpts the past couple of days. I'm on day 32 and it is February 3rd, so we have 4 days to catch up on, but I do really love this book. Brianna Weiss, I believe, is actually going on tour, so apparently Toronto sold out, so that's unfortunate. The Brianna Weiss The Pivot Year book, really been loving that. Also have been really loving going on work dates, whether it's solo, so sitting in a coffee shop, or going to a hotel lobby and sitting there and working, or doing that with a friend has been a lot of fun and just getting me out of the house, and it feels good. Also have been loving going to sports games for a girls' night. It's not just for the boys. I love a good basketball game, a good hockey game. I went to the Leafs game last week with my friend Shell. A few weeks ago we went to the Raptors, and it's honestly so much fun and a nice switch up. You get some popcorn, we got some soda, and it was just a fun vibe. And also, if you're listening to a heartbreak episode, I'm assuming you're single. There were so many cute guys at the hockey game, just saying, on and off the ice. But going to sports games is such a fun girls' night activity, and you just gotta be silly and playful and do something a little different. Also been loving movie nights with the girls, or having friends over and cooking a meal and enjoying that together. Just doing like wholesome things opposed to just like always just going for dinner or to a bar and drinking vibe. So those are my current faves. But let's get into Heartbreak 101. Classes and session. Sit down, grab your notebooks, grab your pen and paper, open your notes app, whatever it is, and let's get into it. Starting off with our mindset. I always like to do this. You guys know I think your mind is such a powerful tool, and you can really reframe your perspective and change the way in which you perceive yourself, perceive the situation, and can really just like reframe things to help you navigate and work through things and heal from things. Here are the mindsets that I personally live by currently when it comes to relationships, to dating, to breakups, whatever it is. This is like where my head is at and how I like to view things and the way it is in my life. And I think they're great for you to take on into your life as well. Life happens for you, not to you. I think it's so easy to think like, why is this happening to me? No, honey, it's happening for you. And you may not see the reason as to why this is happening right now. And it might suck and you might not understand it. But everything happens truly for a reason. And whether it's a lesson, whether it's to move you on to a different path that's better fit for you, whether it's to make something more aligned for you, even if it sucks, everything happens for you and not to you. And eventually you will come out the other side of this and be able to see that as well. Those who are meant to be in your life won't pass by you. Whatever's meant to be will be, and nothing you can do, say, etc., will stop that person, that thing, that event from being a part of your life. It won't pass by you. Some people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And that is also, we'll get more into this, but that's why I love to reflect on relationships when they end, when and if they end, or like any moment, any like pivotal moment in my life or lesson in my life, I love to reflect afterwards. You are worthy of love. You are enough. Nothing you could have done or said would have changed the inevitable outcome. Whatever was going to happen is going to happen. Obviously, there are always exceptions to the rules, but truly, nothing you could have done or said differently would have changed the outcome. You cannot control other people. You can express how you are feeling. You can set your boundaries. You can communicate them. You can choose to walk away from people. But at the end of the day, a person is going to do what they're going to do, and you can choose to be involved in that or not. Lastly, in terms of mindsets, although this whole thing is definitely a mindset thing, something better aligned with you and for you is on the horizon. So trust the divine timing of life. Trust that the universe, that God, that a higher power, whatever it is you believe in, has your back, and that whatever is meant to be will be, and to just trust the divine timing of life. If you've been following me for a while, or maybe you're new here, I am a strong advocate for the power of no contact. I wholeheartedly believe that the only way for you to actually heal and move on from anything is no contact. I don't know, people will have their arguments and be like, I can perfectly move on and still like be talking to my ex as a friend. You do you, sister. I personally have found that has never worked for me. It has never benefited me. And to me, it's a no-go. I am a full advocate for no contact when you break up with someone. I think 30 days of no contact in particular is a really great goal to set for yourself, especially if it's your first time trying no contact post breakup, post the ending of a situationship, whatever it is, whether you saw this person for 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I don't think the length of time can determine how your connection with someone or the relationship you had with someone. I don't think it can validate or invalidate your feelings personally. I don't think it discredits anything, and people will probably argue with me on this, but regardless of titles, a relationship is a relationship. That's my two cents. But 30 days of no contact. I challenge you to go 30 days at minimum of no contact. What do I mean when I say no contact? No speaking or seeing them. No hearing their voice. No looking at photos or videos. No stalking their social media. No talking about them. No mentioning their name. No bringing them up in conversation. Anything to do with them is forbidden. Not happening. We're not having it. It is not a thing. It is not a thing in your life anymore. They are dead to you, essentially. Mel Robbins spoke about this a lot on her podcast. Of course, I'm going to bring this in. This is like backed under psychology. And I think the benefit of going 30 days no contact is that it allows you to start to detach from this person that you were seeing. It allows you to be able to view things in clearer light without your judgment being clouded by how you feel about them and your attachment to this person. Statistically, it is said that it takes, on average, 11 weeks for you to feel better. So hold on to that, but start with the 30 days of no contact. I encourage you to go longer than that if you want to put little milestones in your calendar to remind you, like, 1 week no contact, 2 weeks no contact, 1 month no contact, 4 months no contact, whatever it is. Do that. Like, I personally love goals for myself. And if you need to do that to keep yourself accountable. Delete all conversations you've had with them in your phone. Hide the photos in your photos app, on social media, any physical photos. Put everything in a little box. We'll go into this more. But also, within this 30 days of no contact, this first 30 days, further, I also don't want you to be the one to initiate any new romantic relationships. And I'm not telling you to say no to anything at all if you're out and someone approaches you. That is a different situation. But I don't want you to initiate conversations with a romantic intention. I don't want you to seek out dating. Just overall, I don't want you to initiate anything, because personally, from my own experiences, I'm usually, if I feel a desire to reach out to someone within that initial period, I'm seeking some sort of validation. I'm trying to distract myself from all the feelings by replacing them with someone new. I'm not acting from a place that is healed, that is clear-headed, and with good intentions. And I think the energy you put out and the relationship you are at with yourself, what is going on in your head, is the type of relationship you will attract. And I don't want you to risk attracting someone who is emotionally unavailable, because you're currently emotionally unavailable. We don't need to create that cycle or continue that cycle. So 30 days no contact, 30 days no initiating. And I promise you, by the end of that 30 days, you will not even really have a desire to want to reach out to seek some sort of closure with them, to hang out with them, to see them, to just text them, call them, whatever, because you're breaking that attachment. But every single time you hear their voice specifically, and you could go and research the psychology behind that, or look at a photo, or stalk their social media, or talk to them, you are reopening that wound. Think of when you break up. It's like you fell and you ripped your skin open and you have a wound. Sorry for the morbid visual. But when you break up, you have an open wound. And as you start to do the work, as you start to go no contact and really focus on just healing and working through your emotions and acknowledging them and letting them go, putting that time and energy and love back into yourself, filling up your cup, focusing on what makes you feel good, you're starting to stitch up this wound, and this wound is starting to heal. Now, every time you take a step back, you talk to them, you hang out with them, you go home from the bar with them, you hook up with them, whatever it is, you are unraveling those stitches. Your recovery time is going to take even longer because you're taking steps back. So remember that. It is never worth it. As someone who is speaking from experience, it is not worth it to break no contact. You're never going to get the validation that you want. You're not going to get the closure that you want, because they cannot give you the closure. You have to give it to yourself. On that note of no contact, 30 days no contact, 30 days no initiating anything romantically, 30 days just for you. And that is just the start. And by 11 weeks, you will feel that much better. That's just under 3 months. That's 2 months and 3 weeks. On to part one, acknowledging and processing the pain. I want you to let yourself feel every single emotion that comes forward. Let yourself cry. Let yourself be sad. Let yourself be mad, hurt, envious, jealous, whatever emotions come forward, let yourself feel them. In feeling them, I want you to acknowledge these feelings. I want you to give yourself the validation of these feelings. I want you to allow yourself to process and work through them, to go up the peak and come down the peak. And then I want you to let them go. Picture these feelings, these thoughts floating away on a cloud, on a leaf in a river, whatever it is, and they're just leaving you. I want you to put a timeline on how long you will let yourself sit in this extreme influx of feelings. Because I do think there needs to be a limitation as to how long you let yourself ruminate in these feelings and let yourself feel. I would say 48 hours is a really good timeline. I find that's not too much. It's not too little for me. And I'm not saying you can never feel these like in extreme influxes again. Healing isn't linear. You're going to have some days where you feel really good and some days where you feel like it's day one again. You'll accept it and let it go. But I don't want you to sit here and intentionally sabotage your ability to heal and recover and move on and to be this powerful, beautiful person that you are. It will just lead you into feeling really down, feeling depressed. And it's not going to serve you any benefit to continuously ruminate and sit in these extreme influx of not nice feeling emotions. So let yourself feel everything that comes forward. Let yourself cry. Let yourself vent. Let yourself journal. Acknowledge the feelings. Process them as much as you can in this time period and then let them go. During this time, I encourage you to pick up your journal and to do a few exercises. I love two. I love mind dumps and I love the to list method. So for your mind dump, literally write out everything and anything you are thinking, feeling, trying to process out on paper. If you want, you can keep it. You can burn it safely, obviously. You can rip it up, whatever it is. And then I want you to write to lists. And I've spoken about this before. I found it on TikTok somewhere. But you're going to write to lists. These lists are going to come handy whenever you are feeling like reaching out to them, like breaking no contact, when you are romanticizing the relationship, when you're putting them on a pedestal. You're going to look at these to lists because you're writing these to lists when everything is super fresh. And you can remember the not so great things about this person and about this relationship that you had with them. So in the first list, you are going to write down all the things you disliked about them and your relationship with them. What are the red flags you ignored? What are the things that you put up with that you never liked? Whether it's something so small as you hated the way that they drank water, or something more extreme, like you felt like they never really saw or heard you, or you didn't feel fully respected by them. Like whatever it is, like literally write out all the things and everything. And then on a separate list, I want you to write down all the things you want and deserve in a partner in a romantic relationship. How do you want to feel? How do you want to be seen? How do you want to be heard? How do you want to be loved? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? What do they look like? What are their character traits? Essentially, this is not only a written manifestation, a visualization, but it's also a way to remind yourself that you deserve and can have so much better. You can have someone that brings you true peace and just feels so right. There is that person out there, and I'm sure maybe the person you were just seeing that you broke up with, that things ended with, or maybe they broke up with you, whatever it is, I'm sure they had some of these character traits. Maybe they had a lot of them, but there is someone so much better on the horizon, and you will understand why everything had to happen the way it did. But write out these two lists. One about all the things you disliked about them and your relationship with them. And one about all the things you want and deserve in a partner. Get so detailed with it for you to look at when you are feeling like reaching out to them, breaking no contact, romanticizing the relationship, putting them on a pedestal, only remembering the good things, blah, blah, blah. To part two, detoxing from the past. Starting with the social media cleanup, the dreaded social media cleanup. Unfollow, mute, block without guilt. Delete chats on socials, archive any posts, mute their friends, whatever it is, do it without guilt. It is not that deep in terms of like you unfollowing, muting. It does not mean you are weak. You are simply removing access. If you go to as far as blocking them, you're removing access of them to you. They don't have access to you anymore. They don't deserve it. But if you want to unfollow, mute, whatever it is, so be it. It's not that deep. It's literally just an app. It's digital. It's the internet. It's not real life. Creating physical and mental space. Get rid of your triggers. Delete your chats. I'm so hard on the delete your chats. There's no need to have the chats. What, so you can scroll through and keep all your memories? No, honey, the memories are in your head. They're in your head. Anything important is in your head. You don't need the chat to look through. It's not going to make you feel better. And if by fluke you get back together, which I want to say 99% of the time never actually works, and the reason you broke up was the reason you broke up in the first place, whatever, you'll have a new conversation with them. You do not need to keep the chats. They're stupid and they're not benefiting you. Get rid of their energy. Remove that energy. Hide photos in your photo app. Put old gifts, photos, things, etc. in a box. If you're really angry and they really screwed you over, then throw it out, burn it, whatever it is. Removing them from your vocabulary and your mind. Do not listen to their voice. Look at pictures or videos of them, with them, etc. Refrain from saying their name and talking about them, bringing them up, speaking about the breakup, etc. excessively. I'm all for venting to your friends, and I'm very much one that does that and will talk about something until I'm sick of it, and I will journal about it until I'm sick of it. But to what degree is it beneficial? At a certain point, it is your mind trying to keep them alive and current in your life when they are no longer a part of your life. There comes a time where you need to not say their name, you need to not talk about them, you need to not talk about the relationship, about the breakup, about what they're doing, about their new girl, about what's going on. And I know it's easier said than done, and I know it's tempting to continue to gossip and shit talk and all of this about them, but at a certain point, it is not beneficial, and it is only holding you back from truly healing and moving forward. And again, I know it's easier said than done. I find this part probably the most challenging part because I'm someone that has to like literally talk something through until I'm sick of it. But I encourage you and I challenge you to remove them from your vocabulary and mind. If you want to mention something about them, say, thou who shall not be named, shithead. Give them another nickname that is not their name. Eventually, also like, ask yourself before you like, want to start up a whole conversation about them and what they're doing, who they're seeing and whatever it is. Ask yourself, is it worth it? Is talking about this actually going to be beneficial? Or is it going to make me more sad inside? Is it going to make me reconnect to them or compare myself to that person if they're dating someone new? Is it worth it? And if it's not, if you answer that and you're like, no, it's not worth it, Alana, then decide to not bring it up. Let it go. Forget about it. Goodbye. Conversation topic deleted. I always wished we learned more about financial literacy, specifically when it comes to investing and saving your money. While in high school and even in my business programs, I feel like we never really tapped into that so deeply. And in a world where the investing gap really does exist, 66% of men are investing in the stock market compared to just 48% of women. And I want to work with you guys in order to change that. The investing gap means less women have the chance to build wealth now and can have huge repercussions down the road when it comes time to retiring. I want to empower you to be curious, to go and take initiative to learn more how to set yourself up for success and to gain better knowledge and confidence in investing and saving your money properly. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you got is spare change. You also don't need a lot of time. You can create your Acorns account and start investing in just 5 minutes. Truly, the $5 you spend on your coffee, you can spend another $5 and invest that into your portfolio. I personally have enjoyed using Acorns and it has taught me so much and made me feel a lot more confident in that I'm doing something right. with my money and I'm being smart about my money when it comes to investing and saving. Sign up now and join over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/Alana or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/Alana. If you are looking for an own voices story accented by childhood flashbacks and stunning poetry, Alison Sweetgrant's young adult debut, I Am the Cage, is a quietly powerful portrait of a young woman's journey to confront the medical trauma inflicted to fix her and heal her heart in the process. An emotional coming-of-age story about a young woman running away from herself yet grasping to find a way back, deeply moving, authentically raw, and humming with the possibility of a new love is the book for you. John Green, the number one best-selling author of The Fault in Our Stars, said, "A brilliant book about what we survive and how. Visceral, wrenching, and beautiful." Jojo Moyes, the author of Me Before You, said, "A tender, heartfelt story about the wounds childhood trauma can leave on its survivors. The sense of powerlessness and redemption will stay with you." I love a good book. You guys know I have a book club with my friends, and this is our book for the next month. I'm so excited to dive into I Am the Cage by Alison Sweetgrant, and I'm just so excited. You can buy your copy of I Am the Cage wherever books are sold. I feel like being a woman just gets harder and harder as time goes on, especially when it comes to figuring out our hormones and hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environments, whether it's in the water, in our skincare, in our clothes, in our food, in the air, whatever it is, they seem to always be messing with us. And there is a solution. There is a solution. Hormone Harmony is a formula that is made with herbal ingredients like adaptogens that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. So no matter what your age is, no matter what life cycle you are in, life stage you're in, Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which you guys know I love, that help your body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages, whether you are navigating PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, or just the regular cycle symptoms. I personally really am a big fan of Happy Mammoth, and it has made me feel like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Alana, A-L-L-A-N-A, at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code Alana for 15% off today. And with that, and like I said just a moment before, you need to learn how to find closure from within. You may hate me for saying this, but closure does not come from speaking to them. So do not break no contact with them to get this closure. Nothing they say or do or anything that they tell you, even if it's they give you an answer to your question, it will never feel like it makes sense. It will never give you that closure that you were looking for. Unfortunately, your mind is always going to try to solve some puzzle that can't be solved. So you need to learn how to give yourself that closure. And I think also learning how to do so will make you feel more empowered and more confident and more self-sure. So I really encourage you to practice and find ways to find closure within yourself as opposed to relying on them to give that to you or in thinking that they can give that to you, because as much as it sucks, they cannot give you the closure you are seeking. They might be able to give you some sort of closure. It might make you hate them more based off of how they treat you or speak to you, but it's never worth it. It's never worth it to reach back out and to essentially boost their ego by doing so. To me, closure comes from within, and they'll never be able to really give that to you. Instead, shift your focus from why did this happen to what can I learn from this? In finding closure, you need to let yourself feel everything, like I said during part one. Don't suppress or numb your feelings with alcohol, with drugs, with other boys. Don't distract yourself by getting involved with someone else and having an immediate rebound. Let go of the what ifs and should haves. Replaying the past truly won't change it, and it will only drive you mad and keep you feeling stuck and sad. Instead of ruminating, reframe your thoughts. And this is a great practice to do in every avenue of your life, whether it's to do with breakups or not. Instead of saying or thinking, I should have done XYZ differently, try, I did the best I could with what I knew at the time. Instead of, what if they come back, try, if they were meant for me, they would be here. I think it's also important to cut energetic ties. So removing reminders, unfollow, mute, block on social, clear out old messages, put away triggers, try a symbolic release. This is something that often really helps me, especially because I find I spend a lot of time with my partners hanging out in my apartment. So then like everything in my apartment reminds me of them. So I find taking sage and like saging my apartment, or you can write out a letter, do not send it to your ex, but write out a letter to your ex, pouring out all your thoughts, and then you can rip it or burn it. I love woo-woo things, like witchy things. You can find Reiki online to cut energetic ties that you can play. Do what makes you feel like the energetic ties are being cut away. I also love, and I'm sure you guys are gonna predict this one, but I love replaying or playing my favorite feel good badass music on repeat, aka Tate McRae, It's Okay, I'm Okay, Two Hands, Sports Car. Literally will play those three songs on repeat, specifically It's Okay, I'm Okay. I will replay that on repeat and go on a hot girl walk or be in my apartment. And honestly, dance it out. Dance it out. Shake it out of your body. Like, I really do think dancing, and I think it's called like somatic shakes or something. I don't know. You can search it. I don't know if that's what it's called. But like dancing and moving your body can help release that like physical hold of trauma, of emotion in your body, and can help it free it. Shift your focus back to yourself. Pour energy into things that make you truly feel whole. And these can be things you've already done. These can be things that you discover. But do things like hobbies and hang out with friends, or focus on your career, your family, self-care rituals that really just make you feel whole. Reconnect with yourself. What did you love before this relationship? What excites you about the future? Practice self-love affirmations like, I am enough as I am, and I don't need anyone else to complete me. Forgive your ex. Forgive this person, even if they don't deserve it, and do it for your sake. Forgiveness isn't about them. It's truly about freeing yourself from resentment. Anger is not a nice feeling to hold on to. It's draining. It takes your beauty away. It's not a feminine feeling of energy. Understand that hurt people hurt people, and you don't want to be a hurt person. Their actions are also a reflection of them, not your worth, not you. So just let it go. Process it. Your feelings are valid, but don't hold on to hate and anger. Forgive them as much as you can, and forgive them for you. For you, so that you can heal and move on and move forward. You can practice the affirmation, I release anger, and replace it with inner peace. Trust that a better future awaits, because it does. Things can only get better from here. This breakup is not a rejection. It is a redirection. The love you desire is still possible. Your next relationship will be built on stronger foundations. Believe that you are healing every day, even when progress feels slow. Like I said, healing is not linear. You're gonna have days where you feel like a 10, like you don't even think about them or what happened, and you feel really great. And you're gonna have moments, whether it's a few hours, a minute, a day, or two, where you feel like shit and you feel like it's day one again. But you are still healing. That does not mean all the work you have done has disappeared. It is just a moment where you are feeling sorrow. Just hold on to the fact and the belief that something better for you is on its way. Even though it might be so hard, so challenging, and may not feel possible, it is. Part 3, rebuilding your self-worth and confidence. I think the worst part about a breakup is that you hate yourself. You hate yourself for it. You fall out of love with yourself and you just feel really shitty. I think in by shifting your focus from rejection to redirection, it can really help you. The universe is guiding you. Challenge your self-talk. Challenge these negative thoughts that are coming up. Change "I'll never find love again" to "I am worthy of love and the right person will see that." Change "I wasn't good enough" to "I am more than enough just as I am." Change that you are thinking you are too much, that for the right person, there is no such thing as too much. Practice self-love rituals like daily affirmations, saying things like "I am valuable just as I am. I deserve love, respect, and happiness. I trust myself to create a beautiful life." Do things solo. Take yourself on solo dates. You don't need a partner to do this. Romanticize the hell out of your life. Go to coffee, go to workouts, have dinner, buy yourself flowers, book a solo travel trip. Doing solo trips this past year has been such a confidence and self-esteem boosting thing for me. It's been so invigorating. I feel like I'm finding a stronger sense of self and confidence in myself. I'm really excited to get to go on more solo trips again this year, continue to explore the world and have all these experiences that I can attribute to solely myself, which is a pretty incredible thing. Every week, do something for you that you can plan and get excited for. Expand your sense of self beyond just being someone's partner or lack thereof. There is so much more to you than your relationship status. I know it might be hard to believe it, but you are so much more than what your relationship status is. I know a heck of a lot of really cool people who are single. I don't look at them any less than who they are because they don't have a partner. Invest in your personal growth, whether it be therapy, self-improvement books, like The Pivot Year, The Mountain Is You, When You're Ready, This Is How You Heal, The Let Them Theory, I also have that book, The Let Them Theory book by Mel Robbins. Find new hobbies, running, reading, maybe you want to get into high rocks. I don't know, find something new and fun. Surround yourself with a support system, not other men. Friendships, mentors, communities. I mean, I guess these people could be men, but don't just like fall back into another relationship and get involved with someone else romantically instantly. I think it's important to take time for yourself and to be with yourself. Take care of your mind and body. I know for me, it's often really hard to eat and do the normal things like moving your body and eating nourishing foods, prioritizing self-care. When you're going through a breakup and hard times in life, but it is so important. So please, please don't forget to do those things. I promise taking time to nourish your body and move your body and care for yourself will only make you feel better. Even if all you can stomach is some toast and eggs, do it. Start and end your day with something that makes you feel loved. Figure out what that is and do it. You are not silly. It is not embarrassing. Do the things at the beginning and ending of your day that make you feel loved. Part 4, opening your heart again. I think it's important that we don't let a breakup jade us. We don't let it stop us from being vulnerable and opening up our hearts to someone again. We don't let it make us not trust men or romantic partners ever again, or not want to experience romantic intimacy, sexual intimacy. I think romantic relationships are a beautiful part of life and they're such a beautiful thing, and I don't think any one bad experience should prohibit you from allowing yourself to have that. You're talking to the girl, or you're listening to the girl, who has had her heart broken a million one times, who's been disappointed and let down and hasn't had the best dating experiences. But I've also have had really great ones, and I don't let the shitty ones stop me from being vulnerable, from being open? Yeah, could I have my walls up a little bit at times and be a little bit protective or a little avoidant or self-sabotage at times? Yeah, I'm human. I'm just a girl. But I would way rather still, despite everything that I have encountered, and I've had some pretty shitty experiences happen in my 25 years on this planet, I would way rather take a risk and be vulnerable and open myself up to someone and take a risk at the mere chance of experiencing even just a fraction of love than to not experience it at all and always wonder, what if? And I hope that hearing that can inspire you to do the same, no matter how scary, intimidating, daunting it may seem, because I know how it feels to never want to let someone else back in and to keep your cards really close to your chest and your walls up high and locked in. But in this past year, I have taught myself how to trust and to love again with an open heart. And it has been the most rewarding thing, despite it ending in heartbreak both times. But I don't regret any of it. And I think breakups show us that we are capable of giving and receiving love, and we have the ability to love as humans. And it shouldn't be, like, the pain shouldn't scare you away from never doing it again. I think that there's a difference between being alone and loneliness. And I spend a lot of time alone. I live by myself. I work for myself. I love my alone time. I'm very much an introvert at heart. I've always have loved being by myself and hanging with myself. And I would say I'm my own best friend. But that doesn't necessarily mean I feel lonely all the time. I definitely do struggle with loneliness. It comes in waves. I don't think there's a direct correlation between being single and lonely all the time. Like, you can be single and you can be alone and not feel lonely because you are fulfilled by your relationships with your friends, with your family, with your relationship with yourself. But I don't think you should use loneliness as a reason to push for a relationship. I think you need to be comfortable with being alone. And within that, you will find a beautiful relationship with someone else because you won't be so reliant on them to fill this void. You are already full as a person, and they are full as a person. They have a full life as themselves, and together you come to create this more full life. You're like the cherry on top of the sundae for each other. You are not the sundae. When it comes to opening up your heart again, setting new relationship standards when it comes to boundaries and self-respect is so important. I think it's important to reflect at the end of relationships with people and throughout relationships with people. What patterns could there be? Are there boundaries that you set and let people walk over? Was there a boundary you should have set last time? Are there boundaries you should set moving forward? What did you not do last time? What pattern do you want to break? How can you keep this promise to yourself? I think those are really important things to have a conversation with yourself and determine. I think defining what your relationship non-negotiables are, like, what do you truly want and deserve, going back to those two lists that we discussed at the beginning of the episode, that's something really important to consider. Setting boundaries. If something doesn't feel right, speak up. Your feelings are valid. In order for a relationship to be healthy, you have to learn to be comfortable with communicating your needs and your boundaries. And it's also up to you to withhold that boundary. You can't just, like, set it and then not do anything about it if someone crosses that boundary. You need to reaffirm it, recommunicate, re-express, explain. In terms of knowing when to date again, it can be tough and tricky, and I feel like this is something I sometimes have a hard time navigating, especially with after being hurt. I can feel kind of super avoidant in terms of attachment styles. You really don't need to rush into another relationship to feel whole again, and I never want you to. And if that is something you find yourself doing, I encourage you to do a lot of the things that I spoke about in this episode in terms of healing from a relationship and a breakup and whatnot. The right person will meet you at your highest self, not your lowest moment. I really am someone that believes that the relationships we have with others are mirrors of the relationships we have with ourselves. I think this is like one of my longest podcast episodes in a really long time. You can tell I'm passionate about this topic. I really do think relationships that we have are a mere reflection of the relationship we have with ourselves and how we perceive and view ourselves and speak to ourselves. And I think the issue, obviously, again, exceptions to the rules, and I'm not a therapist, but I'm just a 25-year-old girl who's giving advice here from my own experiences and learnings. I think if you get into a relationship too quickly after ending another one and you are not healed and you're not in a good headspace, the chances of that relationship being healthy and what you deserve and need in a partner is a lot lower. That goes back to saying, like, the right person will meet you at your highest self, not your lowest moment. The energy you put out is the energy you attract. So I would way rather you wait and work through whatever it is you need to work through before getting involved with other people romantically again, for the sake of your mental health and your well-being. And again, there is kind of like, you can't just like never speak to someone ever again. I mean, like, you could, but sometimes you might need to push yourself a little bit. And it's, again, it's like this like fine, it's this like challenging dance that you have to do with yourself to kind of like push yourself. And you can push yourself to go on a date or to talk to someone. And if it doesn't feel right, then like, it doesn't mean you have to continue to do that. You don't have to just stick with that situation, with that decision. You can go back and be like, I tried. I don't think I'm mentally ready yet. I'm still thinking of my ex. I'm still comparing them to my ex. I need more time with myself and for myself. Truly, I think focusing on becoming the best version of you will allow the love to follow when the time is right. Knowing that happiness isn't dependent on anyone else but yourself. Instead of searching for love, focus on becoming the kind of person you'd want to be with. I feel like I've heard this a lot, like making sure you have all the qualities and character traits you are seeking for in a partner before trying to go out and find them, and just learning to trust yourself and love again. I know I have felt this way. I know in talking to some friends, they've felt this way. I know in seeing some girls talk about this online, on podcasts, on TikTok, whatever it is, that sometimes they just don't trust their ability to make judgment calls when they're in love. They just get so consumed by the relationship so fast that they're not able to see clearly and they don't trust their ability to make good judgment calls. Yeah, that could be the case in the past, but you have the power by becoming self-aware of that to change that. So for example, like, I know when I self-sabotage, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I don't catch it, but learning when to acknowledge or like catch the cues that you are self-sabotaging, or when you are ignoring red flags, you can trust yourself in love again, and you deserve to have love again, and eventually you will feel okay to love again. That is different from person to person, and it may be different after situationship breakups to relationship breakups. It could be faster after one person and longer after another for you. There's no need to compare or contrast. Nothing's better or worse. The moral of this podcast, and in summary, I encourage you to take time for yourself, to focus on yourself, to put the energy into yourself, to allow yourself to detach from your past partner, whether it was a 2-week fling, a 3-month thing, an 8-month, 4-year, whatever it is. Detach from them, go no contact, focus on you. Don't seek out validation or distractions from other partners. Ask yourself before you message a boy in a romantic way if this is worth it, if you are acting from the right place. In time, you will heal and you will feel better and you will understand why everything happened the way that it did. And again, I know it's easier said than done. You can and you will. I'm right here with you. My DMs are always open, but your heart will heal. Your head will heal, your body will heal, and you will be able to love again. And you are worthy of so much. You are worthy of the relationship, of the partner, of your dreams, you just have to create that with yourself first and be open to letting someone else in second. So I hope that this episode helped you. I'm sending so much love and a big hug to anyone who is listening to this, who is going through a breakup, is experiencing heartbreak. I love you. You are worthy and deserving and capable of so much love. You are not too much. I need to find this quote. It's the Alice in Wonderland quote. Okay, this is the quote. The Mad Hatter says this to Alice. You used to be much more muchier. You've lost your muchness. The quote refers to an indefinable quality that made Alice who she was. It may also suggest that Alice has lost herself or that she's becoming more cynical or changing for the worse. So when you are feeling like you are too much, don't let that feeling make you any less yourself. Your muchness is a beautiful part of you, and for the right person, they will adore and appreciate it so much. There is nothing you could have done. You are enough. You are enough as you are. There's nothing you need to change or do that would have made you enough for that person. That person just simply wasn't meant for you. I love you guys so much. Make sure to leave a rating or review if you enjoyed this episode. Share this with a friend who you think may need it. And we'll chat soon. Bye, guys.